ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रीमद् भागवतम की जाए। श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकेंड कैंटो सेकेंड चैप्टर द लॉर्ड इन द हार्ट टेक्स्ट 19 इत्थं मुनीस तुपारमेद व्यवस्थितो विज्ञान दृक् वीर्य सुरंधिताशयः स्व पार्ष्णीनापीड्य गुडं ततो अनिलं स्थानेषु षत्सुन्नमयेज् जीता क्लमः इत्थं मुनिस्तु परमेद् व्यवस्थितो इत्थं मुनिस्तु परमेद् व्यवस्थितो विज्ञान दृग वीर्य सुरंधिस विज्ञान दृग वीर्य सुरंधिताशयः विज्ञान दृग वीर्य सुरंधिताशयः स्वपाष्णिना पीड्य गुदं ततो नीलम् स्वपाष्णिना पीड्य गुदं ततो नीलम् स्थानेषु सत्शून्यमयेज्जितक्लमः स्थानेषु सत्शून्यमयेज्जितक्लमः इत्थं मुनिस्तु परमेद् व्यवस्थितो विज्ञान दृग् वीर्य सुरंधिताशय स्वपाष्णिना पीड्य गुदं ततो नीलम् स्थानेषु सत्सुन्नमयेज्जितक्लम इत्थं दास बाय ब्रह्मन रियलाइजेशन मुनिहि The philosopher, too, but uparamet should retire, vyavasthitah, well situated, vijnanadrik, by scientific knowledge, birya, strength, surandhita, well regulated. Ashayaha, aim of life, swaparshnina, with the heel of one's foot, apidya, by blocking, gudam, the air hole, tataha, thereafter, anilam, life air, sthaneshu, in the places, Satsu, six primary, Unnamayet, must be lifted, Jita Klamaha, by extinguishing material desires. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot and by lifting the life air from one place to another in the six primary places. Please repeat after me. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot and by lifting the life air from one place to another in six primary places. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many Duratmas who claim to have realized themselves as Brahman and yet are unable to conquer material desires. Jai Shri Krishna Balaram ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai ki jai. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:54, it is clearly explained that an absolutely self-realized soul becomes completely aloof from all material desires. Material desires are based on the false ego of the living entity and are exhibited by his childish and useless activities to conquer the laws of material nature and by his desire to lord it over the resources of five elements. With such a mentality, one is led to believe in the strength of material science. With his discovery of atomic energy and space travel by mechanical vehicles, and by such tiny advancements in material science, the false egotist tries to challenge even the strength of the Supreme Lord, who can finish all man's tiny endeavors in less than a second. The well-situated self, or Brahman-realized soul, perfectly understands that the Supreme Brahman, or the Personality of Godhead, is the all-powerful Vasudev, and that he, the self-realized living being, is a part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. As such, his constitutional position is to cooperate with him in all respects, in the transcendental relation of the served and the servitor. Such a self-realized soul ceases to exhibit his useless activities of attempting to lord it over material nature. By scientifically well-informed, or rather being scientifically well-informed, he fully engages himself in faithful devotion to the Lord. The expert yogi who has thoroughly practiced the control of the life air by the prescribed method of the yoga system is advised to quit the body as follows. He should plug up the evacuating hole with the heel of the foot and then progressively move the life air on and on to six places, the navel, abdomen, heart, chest, palate, eyebrows, and cerebral pit. Controlling the life air by the prescribed yogic process is mechanical, and the practice is more or less a physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. In olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalist, but the mode of life and character in those days were favorable. But in modern days, when the influence of Kali Yuga is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. Concentration of the mind is more easily attained in these days by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercise of the life air. Ittham munistupa ramet vyavasthito vijnana drik virje surendhitasaya sapashni napidya gudam tato nilam sthaneshu satsunna mayet jitaklamaha. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot and by lifting the life air from one place to another in the six primary places. So, there are various ways of making spiritual advancement, and one of the common ways was the process of Ashtanga Yoga. And here Sukadeva Goswami is advising Parikshit Maharaj about that process. That was Dwapar Yuga, and people were very advanced, so they were so powerful that they could actually detach themselves from the material nature completely and thus elevate themselves to the spiritual sky. And the process, as has been described here, is a yogi controls his life air, which is called pranavayu. Here that life air has been described as anilam. Anila actually means air. So this expression, just air or anilam, has been used, but it means not ordinary air, or not ordinary air, but here it is talking about, Sukadeva Goswami is talking about the life air. There are five types of air, anilam. They are known as prana, apana, samana, vyana, and udana. Through these five types of air, different types of bodily activities are performed. Out of all these, prana is the most important. And pranavayu is the air which keeps the spirit soul within the body. And when the pranavayu leaves the body, then the spirit soul lives. Or when the spirit soul leaves the body, pranavayu leaves the body. It is the pranavayu which actually holds the spirit soul within the body. Prana prayana samayi kapho bato pitto. King Kulashekhar is praying to Krishna. At the time when the prana prayana samayi, when the pranavayu will leave my body, when my life air will leave my body, when the spirit soul will leave the body, how shall I remember you? So, the process of yoga is actually to control the pranavayu in such a way that with the means of the prana, the spirit soul becomes elevated. Our activities determine the destination of our soul, our destination, our next destination. If one acts in an exalted way, his soul will be exalted. So, one of the ways of exalting the soul was this process of yoga, Ashtanga yoga. And the way of elevating the soul is this process of yoga system, of Ashtanga yoga. And the objective was to get out of the material nature. More exalted one becomes, the more elevated becomes his spiritual situation. Or more exalted becomes his soul. And it has also its effect on the material body. Like the yogis, through their practice of Ashtanga yoga, elevates their spirit soul to a higher situation. That through the process of Ashtanga yoga, which includes 8 different stages, known as yam, niyam, asan, pranayam, pratyahar, dhyan, dharan, and samadhi. So out of these, you can see the 4th one is pranayam. Yam, niyam, and asan, these are physical practices. The body's, controlling the body's activities. Yam, niyam, and asan. And then pranayam is actually the controlling of the life air, prana, pranayam. And they would control the life air in such a way that they would practically stop breathing. Why do we need to breathe? Why do we need to eat? Why do we need to drink? To keep the soul in the body. To maintain the harmony between the body and the soul. If we don't eat, what will happen? If we don't eat, what will happen? Sharad, what will happen if we don't eat? We'll die. Right? Or why do we eat? We eat to be alive. If we don't eat, we will die. Why do we need to drink? Because if we don't drink, we will die. Why do we need to breathe? If we don't breathe, we will die. Isn't it? Die means? Die means what? The soul will leave the body. Right? Soul will leave the body. We need to eat and drink and breathe to keep the body and soul together. Right? Now let us consider, if the soul becomes aloof from the body, when the soul becomes aloof from the body, then will it need to eat? If the soul becomes aloof from the body, it don't need to eat. If the soul becomes aloof from the body, it don't need to drink. If the soul becomes aloof from the body, it will not need to breathe. So yogis actually do that. The practice of yoga involves that. Stop eating, stop drinking, stop breathing. You remember what Dhruva Maharaj did? Dhruva Maharaj, he stopped to eat. What he was eating just some dry leaves. Eventually, he was eating dry leaves. But he stopped eating. He was just drinking. And he stopped drinking also. Then what he did? He stopped breathing. Which means his spirit soul became considerably detached from the body. Now, this process of practicing yoga, the soul becomes aloof from the body. And when the soul becomes aloof from the body means the soul became detached from material nature. Because our link with the material nature is through the body. So the soul is aloof from the body means the soul is detached from material nature. When the soul is detached from the material nature, where is it going to go? Detached from the material nature means it is spiritually situated. It's spiritually situated. So that is the process of Ashtanga Yoga. By this process, practicing this process, the soul is elevated to the spiritual platform. But Prabhupada is saying that this is a mechanical process. Mechanical process in the sense, why it is considered to be a mechanical process? What is the meaning of the word mechanical? The word mechanical means what? Mechanical means, the word mechanical is coming from machine, isn't it? Things that are done with machine is mechanical. Now body is a machine, right? So this process of spiritual advancement through this machine of the body is a mechanical process. That means this process of spiritual elevation is through the body. But when the body is properly equipped, then spiritual elevation is possible. But when the machine is not able to function properly, then will the machine work? Now our Kali Yuga bodies are like broken down machines. So when the machine is broken down, we cannot function, the machine will not properly function and the desired goal cannot be achieved. That is why in the age of Kali, the process that has been prescribed is not so much related to the body in this sense. It's related to the body because through the body the spiritual advancement has to be accomplished. But this body, the Kali Yuga bodies, are not fit for this kind of performance. Like, let us consider what kind of body we need to perform yoga system. Like, if we consider Ashtanga Yoga, that has been quite extensively described. No, not extensively, rather briefly described in Bhagavad Gita. It involves going to a solitary place. The first consideration, step one, go to a solitary place. Solitary place means in the middle of a forest or in the cave of a mountain. And there take bath 3 times a day. Morning, afternoon and evening. And there one should sit down peacefully and fix his mind at the lotus feet of the Lord. Okay, now before, let us consider step 1, step 2, step 3. Step 1, going to a solitary place. In Madhya Pradesh, there are many, many big, deep forests. How many of you are ready to go to the forest? Nita Chandra, did you raise your hand? How many of you are ready to go to the forest? No? No one? Okay. How many of you are ready to live alone? Not only go to the forest, but live alone. Sometimes we can go to the forest. Sometimes we go to a forest to have a picnic, don't we? A big group, drive in a bus, find a nice place on the bank of a river, and we have a picnic, and then in the evening we come back. But no, this going to the forest is not for going to have a picnic, but to go there to live and not to come back home. So, okay. Now if you think that forest in Madhya Pradesh is not good enough place for you, maybe you need a more suitable place. What about going to the Himalayas? In the snow-capped mountains. Snow-capped means where it's snow, there is ice throughout the year. Throughout the year there is ice. And mind you, when you go there, you don't have any prasad. Jai Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki. Jai Shri Shri Radha Madan Mohan Lalita Vishakha Devi Ki. Jai Shri Shri Gaur Nithai Ki. Srila Prabhupada. No rice, dal, chapati, sabji. And what to speak of rasmalai and rasgullas. What to speak of rice, dal, chapati, sabji and rasmalai, rasgullas. There is not even no fruits. No fruits even. No chipped rice. No bananas. No milk. So what will you eat? Actually, when one takes to this life, he doesn't think about eating. Let us consider, once a yogi was, whose activity was very exemplary. Who was that? Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, he went to the Mandar mountain. Mandar mountain is a very, very high mountain. Mandar mountain is even higher than Mount Everest, higher than Himalayan mountain. And even higher than Mandar is Meru. Anyway, so he went on top of Mandar mountain and there, what to speak of eating and sleeping, he just stood on one leg, just on one leg, on his toe, with his hands raised upwards, and stood there for days, weeks, months, years, together. There for so many years that his whole body was eaten up by the termites, white ants. So how many, who will be able to do such an, perform such an activity? So the point that Prabhupada is making, that process of spiritual perfection is not possible for the people of this age, age of Kali. Now, spiritual process is becoming aloof from the body and becoming detached from the material nature. So this way is the process by which one gradually separates the soul from the body. So this is one way of spiritual, making spiritual advancement. Soul becoming completely aloof from the body. And as the soul becomes aloof, the soul rises and the chakras open. There are six chakras, as it has been pointed out. And then finally, one leaves the body through the brain center, which is the, there is a hole above the brain on the skull. And the soul lives from there. So yogis achieve their perfection in this way. But in this age, as I mentioned, people are not that advanced. They are not that competent. Their body is weak. So when the body is weak, the body doesn't have, will not have the ability to elevate the soul. Therefore, in this age, the process has been given as devotional service, direct devotional service or pure devotional service. Now, what is this process actually? As I mentioned earlier, it's all a matter of the body and the soul. Freeing the soul from the bondage of the body. Now, what is devotional service? The devotional service has been described as engaging oneself with his body, speech and mind. Tanubhang manobhi. The body, bhang means speech, and mana is mind, in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which begins with surrender. We surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and through the surrender, our body and mind become spiritualized. And thus, engaging the body and the mind in the service of the Lord, eventually the spirit soul is situated in its constitutional position. For example, when the body is engaged in the service of the Lord, then the body is spiritualized. When the mind is engaged in the service of the Lord, the mind is spiritualized. Intelligence is spiritualized. And eventually the soul becomes situated in its spiritual identity, free from the bondage of matter. If our activities are engaged in the service of the Lord, then it is spiritualized. So this is the difference. The other processes generally are a mechanical process of spiritualizing oneself. But this process is directly spiritualizing the body. We do not have to separate the soul from the body. Rather, engaging the body in the service of the Lord, the body is spiritualized. So that is the uniqueness of devotional service. And that is the wonderful advantage of this age of Kali. And in order to do that, one doesn't have to go to the forests of Jharkhand or on top of Himalayan mountain. One can be engaged in devotional service wherever he is. One doesn't have to change his situation. He can just be engaged in the service of the Lord wherever he is. Sthane sthitva shruti gatang tanubang manobhi. Being situated wherever one is, sthane sthitva. If you are in Ujjain, you can stay in Ujjain. You don't have to go to Himalaya mountain. If you are in Bombay, you can stay in Bombay. If you are in London, you can stay in London. Once in a while you can come to Ujjain. Just like Lila Purushottam is doing. Of course, now he decided to stay here. His situation has changed. One can be wherever one is. But of course, to find a suitable or conducive situation, one can find a location. But the general understanding is one can be wherever he is. And he can be engaged in serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Can one serve the Lord anywhere and everywhere? And especially when, here also, the service also has become simplified. Although, generally, to serve the Lord, one has to go to a temple, right, where the Lord resides. But in this age, what happened? The Lord has appeared in the form of His holy name. So how do you serve the holy name of the Lord? Offering aartik to the holy name? No. Just by hearing and chanting. You serve the holy name of the Lord simply by hearing and chanting. Hearing first, right? So you chant and hear. Hear and chant. The way to worship the Lord in the form of transcendental sound vibration is by hearing and chanting. When you chant, you are serving the Lord. But you have to be careful that the chanting is not spaced out chanting. Not that you are chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, and your mind is what is happening in the World Cup cricket in Barbados. No. Mind should be in hearing the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And when you are chanting attentively, then Krishna, who is watching you, Krishna, is Krishna watching you every moment? So Krishna, when he sees that, oh, you are chanting nicely, Krishna says, yes, good boys and good girls. They are listening to me, what I have told them. I told them, why they are chanting? Because my agent, my representative, their spiritual masters, told them to chant, and that's why they are chanting. Having complete faith in the words of their spiritual master. So, and this is how one makes spiritual advancement in this age. Now, is it a difficult process? Now, if you are given a choice, which one will you take to? Which one will you take? What's your name?
Tumhara naam kya hai?
Animesh. अगर तुमको ये ऑप्शन दिया गया है तो कौन सी ऑप्शन तुम लोगे? भक्ति ऑप्शन. वेरी गुड. अनमेश इज अ वेरी इंटेलिजेंट बॉय. ही विल टेक द भक्ति ऑप्शन. और कौन योगा ऑप्शन लेंगे? अष्टांग योगा ऑप्शन. झाड़ीखंड का जंगल में जाने का. और वहां हिरण्यकशिपु जैसा योग अभ्यास करके बिकम गॉड्स कंपिटिटर. नॉट अ सिंगल वन. वेरी गुड. यू ऑल आर डिवोटीज. हरे कृष्णा. ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील प्रभुपाद. Thank you very much. Does anybody have any question? Yes, Krishna Chan, as usual, is the first one to raise his hand. And we know who will be the second one. And we are ready for Sitaram, who doesn't need the microphone. Okay, Krishna Chan.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. You have mentioned that the chanting should be not spaced out. Chanting should not be spaced out chanting.
Chanting should not be spaced out, yeah.
And we should simply hear the holy name. But sometimes, quite often what happens is that, there are thoughts of, even the service that we have to do or, which you would like to do, and it just comes very naturally because we are, naturally attached to doing something for the pleasure of Krishna and devotees. So, is that also not good or not pleasing to Krishna?
You mean chanting, thinking about the service while chanting?
Not consciously, but the thoughts come about service.
Yeah. The best is to just hear. Because, you see, it's a matter of worshipping the Lord. And the way to worship the Lord in the form of the holy name is by hearing. That's the way. Right? But if, that those thoughts do come, it's, better than thinking of World Cup cricket while chanting. The thoughts are, at least those thoughts are pertaining to devotional service. But the point is that these 2 hours of chanting, 16 rounds, which takes 1.5 to 2 hours, it should be concentrated, it should be focused. Bandhamui sabodhanamati. The worshipping should be done. Sabodhana means, the word sabodhana means literally the word is sa avadhan. Avadhan means attentive. Mind being focused on that. Yes, Sitaram, we are waiting for you now.
You said the spiritual life and the material life should be developed side by side. One cannot develop one without the other, really. And the Grace also mentioned that in this age, the Lord's holiness invested with all the potencies. People may misconstrue that in other ages, the name is not invested because there is different process. How does one understand that?
I didn't actually say that the spiritual life and material life is side by side, but it is interlinked in a way. Like, not side by side, but the spiritual advancement means going away from the material. Right? Generally. Whereas in devotional service, what we do is, instead of separating the soul from the body, see, other processes are a process of separating the soul from the body. Right? The yoga process, gradually, more you advance, the more aloof you are from the body. You don't need to eat. What does it mean? The body's needs are minimized. Why? Because the body is not important. The consciousness has been withdrawn from the body. Like, for example, when one is under anesthetics, does he need to eat? Why? Because he is not aware of his body. Right? So similarly, the process of yoga detaches oneself from the body so much that the body's needs are completely disregarded, or one becomes unaware of the body's needs. Whereas devotional service is the process of using the body to be engaged in spiritual activity. And by doing that, one spiritualizes the body. It's not a negation of the body, but spiritualizing the body. So that is the, first of all, that's the difference, and I just wanted to clarify the point that it is not going side by side, rather it is, it's a matter of, separating the body. Like now, our consciousness is in material consciousness, in body consciousness. But by engaging the body in the service of Krishna, we are becoming situated in Krishna consciousness. Yes, Sharon.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, as you said that in the previous times, devotional service, there was favorable environment. If we just see one generation back, or there was not the effect of Kali Yuga as we see now. It was not that that much as it is now. So now we see that because of that, because of the environment and media and everything, the devotees themselves also, they feel, they have more stumbling blocks in their devotional life. They have more difficulty in progressing if we compare it to the earlier times because of the environment which we are living in. So, Maharaj, my question is that how can we understand that, vis-a-vis the situation earlier, is the protection of Krishna towards his devotees increased because of the environment that the current devotees are facing? Or is it that little devotion service pleases Krishna more Because earlier it was, you know, more favorable, devotion service could have been performed more easily. Now it has become all the more difficult. So how is it that we can, how, you know, what is the hope for us? How we can be encouraged? Because it is very you know, easy for us to become, you know, discouraged because of our stumbling in the devotional path.
Okay. Very good. Now let us consider, what is the process for spiritual advancement in this age? What is the process for spiritual advancement in this age? In simple words, devotional service. What does devotional service mean? Yeah. And how does it begin? Very good. So devotional service begins with surrender. Right? So, in this age, the way for making spiritual advancement is surrender. Right? So, the more you surrender, the more you make advancement. The more you make advancement, spiritual advancement, the more you become surrendered. Right? So, that's the first consideration. The process for this age, we must remember, is surrender. So, now tell me, the more difficult the situation becomes, do what happens? Do we become more adamant? We become more surrendered. So, let the situation become so difficult that we will be forced to surrender more and more. So it's good that let the situation become difficult. Then we'll remember Krishna even more and we'll become more surrendered. That's one thing. And then what is the objective of devotional service? Yes, but think about it. What is the main objective of Krishna consciousness or devotional service? What is the main objective? Is it really to achieve Krishna prema? Are we trying to get Krishna prem? No. Krishna prem will come as Krishna's mercy. There we don't have, you know, any ability to achieve that. We cannot say that by practicing devotional service for 35 years, we are going to get Krishna prem. Can anyone say that? How does one receive Krishna prem? By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna prema pradayate. He can give it. Otherwise, it's impossible to get. So actually, our immediate objective is not to get Krishna prema. Think about it. What is our immediate objective? Good, but still, think about it more deeply. Our immediate objective is to spread Krishna consciousness. Isn't it? What we are doing? Sankirtan. We are chanting loudly, singing, distributing books. Why we are doing all these things? Everything that we are doing, what is the purpose? The purpose is to spread Krishna consciousness. Now, the way the world is going, tell me, is it becoming more conducive to spread Krishna consciousness or more difficult to spread Krishna consciousness? In one hand it is difficult, but on the other hand it is easier. Right? Look at all these facilities that today's world is providing. What is the biggest development in this age? Communication. Now consider, is communication conducive to spreading Krishna consciousness or not? So we will say Krishna is making all kinds of wonderful arrangements. To spread Krishna consciousness all over the world in every town and village. So we are in a wonderful situation, right? Difficulties are there to force us to become Krishna conscious, to surrender to Krishna, and facilities are there in order to spread Krishna consciousness more effectively.
Well, actually, my question is similar. Actually, you mentioned that in Kali Yuga, the process is devotional service. That is a special advantage of this age. But if somebody fails to complete the fails to complete the process in this life, then what will be the situation in the next life? Because on one hand, we understand that he will start from where he left. But at the same time, actually just one similar point about the answer you gave, that although like the situation is more conducive in one sense, as you mentioned, but the influence of Maya is also, you know, much more in that sense, because of, like, if you see, because of communications, you know, the because of television and all, I mean, every corner of the world is covered by Maya practically. So,
yeah, the influence of Maya is strong, but if you remain in the association of devotees, Maya won't be able to touch you. Maya may come with all her allurements, but if you're in the association of devotees, will you fall into Maya? Even if you fall into Maya, the devotees will hold on to you and say, Prabhu, don't go. Right? They will hold you back into Krishna consciousness. Isn't that what the association of devotee does? Prabhu, what are you doing? You're going to Maya. You're falling into Maya. Won't the devotees say that? Right? So, the possibilities of falling into Maya is not there if you're properly situated in the association of devotees. And that's what ISKCON is. Srila Prabhupada has created a situation where the chances or possibilities of falling into Maya has been reduced completely. Right? And to just refer to your first part of your question, I'll say that, you see, as I mentioned earlier, devotional service means surrender. Right? Then, when you surrender, what does surrender actually entail? I cannot do it myself, I'm depending upon you. Isn't that what surrender is? I'm surrendered, I'm depending upon you. So, our mood should be, I don't know what's going to happen. But Krishna, I'm simply depending upon you. Whether I'll make any spiritual advancement, whether I'll make it back to Godhead, or whether I'll remain in Maya forever, or whether I'll go to hell, I don't know, Krishna. Whatever you want, do it with me. So that is the meaning of surrender. But Krishna, and on the other hand, what assurance Krishna is giving? Mad bhakta na pranashyati. My devotee will never vanquish. So that is Krishna. In one hand, on our part, we depend upon Krishna. And in Krishna's part, he is giving us the assurance, don't worry, you will never. You'll never lose anything. Now that you have taken shelter of me, I'll take care of you. Isn't that the mood of a noble man? Now tell me, who is more noble than Krishna? Somebody comes to a gentleman and takes shelter of him. What does the gentleman do? Gives him shelter. Right? Because he is dependent upon him. So Krishna is the most merciful. Therefore Krishna is Bhakta Vatsal. Bhakta Vatsal means he is the protector of his devotees. He is the maintainer of his devotees. Yes, Raghav Pandit.
Fortunate enough, they are getting the devotional activities or devotion through the Srimad Bhagavatam, as described in this chapter, that doing the Ashtanga Yoga, doing the Shat Chakra Bhedan and everything. Will these people also get the devotion?
Yes, they'll get devotion if you give it to them.
Yeah.
All right. So now it's your duty to go out and give it to them. Actually, that's the purpose of the devotees in this age, to create the good fortune for others. Whether they're doing Ashtanga Yoga or they're doing, you know, Karmakanda, or whether they're trying to enjoy the material nature, they're all in a wrong path. Because that's not the process of this age. Right? Say, for example, if you see someone is trying to cross the ocean with a broken boat, small little boat, row boat, and that boat also has a hole in it. Right? So when you see that he is about to set out, to cross the ocean in a broken boat, what will you do?
The hole is too block.
If you ask, you know, will he make it? The answer is no. So if you see that he is not going to make it, as a gentleman, what's your duty? To tell him that, look, you'll sink, you'll drown. In 500 meters across, away from the shore, and it'll sink. So come to our ocean liner. Right? You pick him up. So that is what devotional service is in this age.
Thank you, Guru Mahesh. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. Any other question? Yes? You keep coming every day? This is the first time you came? Pehli baar aap aaye hain? Second baar. Aate rehna, jawab mil jayega. Okay, the definition of God, Hindi mein God ka kya bolte hain? Hindi mein God ka Bhagwan. Bhagwan ka matlab kya hai? Aap bataiye, Bhagwan ka matlab kya hai? बलवान का मतलब क्या है? नहीं, बलवान का मतलब क्या है? बलवान, हाँ, ताकतवान. ओके, गुणवान, जिसका गुण है. हाँ, रूपवान, जिसका रूप है. धनवान, जिसका धन है. भगवान, हाँ, बताइए भगवान का मतलब क्या है? हाँ, जिनके पास भाग है. भाग का मतलब है जिनके पास सारे संपदा, सारे दौलत हैं, सारे शक्ति हैं, सारे सौंदर्य हैं, सारे यश हैं, सारे ज्ञान हैं और समग्र त्याग हैं. ऐश्वर्यस्य समग्रस्य वीर्यस्य जशस्य श्रिय ज्ञान वैराग्यश्चैव शन्नांगिति भगांगना. समझे? ये भग का अर्थ है सारे संपदा, सारे शक्ति, सारे सुंदरता, सारे यश, सारे ज्ञान और सारे त्याग. किसी में है? किसी को आप जानते हैं जो कहते हैं कि उसके पास सारे संपदा है? नहीं. सारे शक्ति हैं, यश, सुंदरता, ज्ञान, त्याग, जिसके पास है वो है भगवान. और वो कौन है? वो है एकम एव अद्वितीय परम पुरुष, जो परम पुरुष, परमेश्वर, जो एक है और जिनका दूसरा कोई नहीं है, वो है भगवान. और उनके गुण के अनुसार उनके बहुत सारे नाम हैं. वो सर्वाकर्षक हैं, इसलिए उनका नाम है कृष्णा. वो परम शक्तिमान है, सारे बल उनमें है, इसलिए उनका नाम बलराम. वो सारे आनंद की स्रोत हैं, इसलिए वो है राम. ऐसे एक ही वो एक हैं जिनका कोई दूसरा नहीं है, परंतु उनके शक्ति और उनके लीला के अनुसार उनके अंतहीन नाम हैं। तो भगवान कौन है? आप मंदिर में आए हैं, वो कौन है? हाँ बताइए, भगवान कौन है? समझ गए हैं, इसलिए मैं बोला हर रोज आना ही है। व्हाट इज द श्री कृष्णा? भगवान को प्रणाम करना चाहिए, आपको उनका शरण लेना चाहिए, श्री कृष्ण को शरण लेना चाहिए। ले रहे हैं? आर यू टेकिंग शेल्टर ऑफ कृष्ण? अच्छा ठीक है, ओके व्हाट्स योर क्वेश्चन?
हरे कृष्ण महाराज, महाराज इन द वेदास इट इज डिस्क्राइब्ड दैट गॉड इज फॉर्मलेस।
गॉड इज
फॉर्मलेस?
हु सेड?
And many times it is written that God has form also in Bhagavad
Gita. Who is here on the altar?
That is Krishna.
Does he have a form?
He has a form, yes.
Is he God?
Yes.
Then how can you say God is formless?
But somewhere it is written that impersonal feature of God, that...
So impersonal feature of God.
That is creating doubt.
Yeah. You see, God has his energy, the Shakti. Does Shakti, does energy have form? Energy, energy aspect is formless. God's energy aspect of that Supreme is formless. But He, the energetic, see energy and energetic, energy must come from the energetic, right? Energy is formless, but is energetic formless? No. And another thing is, somewhere it has been written, is in order to understand that, what do you have to do? Can you take a book and just read it? To understand the book, what do you have to do? To understand the book, what do you have to do? You have to study under a teacher, right? And he will explain why somewhere it has been written in a certain way and somewhere else it has been written in some other way, right? What do you study? You're a student, yeah? You are studying now?
Yes, probably in 11th class.
You're in 11th class. So in 11th class, what are you doing? Yes. You go to school?
Yes, probably.
Right?
Yes, ma'am.
You have books? Just the books? Can you read the books and understand the books yourself?
No, teacher is needed.
You need a teacher, right? To understand any subject, you need a teacher. So to understand the spiritual subject, you have to study the proper books under the guidance of a qualified teacher. All right? Okay. Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Is there any more question? Okay. Chitrangada. Oh, you have a question also?
Guru Maharaj, in text 16, it was explained that one must dictate to one's mind, because the mind functions to think, will and feel. And unless the mind is dictated to, then the path becomes difficult. So when we are performing devotional service, when we are actually doing that service, how do we dictate our mind? And how should our consciousness be to dictate our mind when we are performing devotional service? Or does this verse not apply when we do devotional service?
Yeah. So when you do something, how do you do it? Attentively or inattentively? So attentively means what? Attentively means the mind is focused in there, in what you are doing. If the mind is not focused, then it's inattentive. So when you are rendering your service, should you do it attentively? Where should your mind be? In your work.
I think Guru Maharaj is like, when we are working, we are just working. But how do we spiritualize that work?
by offering the results of the work to Krishna, by doing the work for Krishna. If you do it for Krishna, it's devotional service. If it is for your own self-aggrandizement, it's Maya. Right? Yes, Jamuna Priya.
I was wondering, Maharaj, whether to ask this question or not, but this doubt was there some time ago. That we know that by Lord Chaitanya's prediction, the holy name will be spread in every town and village. And my little understanding is that the doubt was to do with whether that will happen in the golden age, because also the scriptures say that everything will get so deteriorated that cannibalism and all of that will happen. So Maharaj, if it's being spread, yeah, which age is it? And then what's happening afterwards?
The prediction is it will happen in golden age or in Kali Yuga.
But I thought in Kali Yuga there is a golden period. There is.
Yeah, right.
So is it just that period or is it afterwards as well?
You see, yeah, Kali Yuga is Iron Age. Right? Kali Yuga is Iron Age. Why it's Iron Age? Because it's so degraded. But due to the propagation of Krishna consciousness, will the degraded condition remain or it'll improve? It'll improve. When it improves, what will happen? It'll become Golden Age. Right? So yes, by propagation of Krishna consciousness throughout the world, a golden age will be established in the middle of the Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga situation will improve. And within Kali Yuga, by Mahaprabhu's mercy, for 10,000 years, the golden age will appear. Okay, go ahead.
Maharaj, the question then really is that if that is the case, and the holy name is so powerful, then the doubt was about this bad time that's going to come, which is going to be so degrading when people are, you know, having children for the sake of eating them, etc., etc. Then why does that come about? Or is it that it is those who didn't take on to it?
That will be at the end of age of Kali, towards the end of it. That will be towards the end of this age of Kali, not right away. The situation is becoming pretty bad. The way Kali Yuga is now is pretty degraded actually. But mind you, it's only the beginning. This is only the beginning. Now, okay, let's put it this way. What's the duration of the age of Kali? What is the duration of Kali Yuga? 432,000 years. How many years went by? About 5,000. How many years are left? 427,000 years. Right? So 427,000 years is a long time. Right? So in between, what is going to happen from now on, gradually the situation will improve. And the golden age will be established for 10,000 years. And then gradually the deterioration will take place. Gradually. And then, you know, at some point, towards the end of the Kali, come the situation that you are actually describing. And then Kalki Avatar will come and he'll wipe out all these miscreants. And then golden age will again be established. Then after Kali Yuga, Satya Yuga will begin. Answers your question? It sounds like not quite.
I'm so sorry, Maharaj. It's just me. Okay. Because is this all because of the part of Krishna's Leela? Because one would tend to think that if this the holy name has spread and everybody's taken on to it, then why should it deteriorate? Because then everybody should be busy going back to Godhead, but surely not. Is that because that is Krishna's arrangement?
Yeah. Yeah. That's why Krishna in this age has come as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as a devotee. And he has, in this age, he'll create that situation for the living entities of this degraded age. Give them a very special benefit so that they can make spiritual advancement and go back to Godhead. Particularly in this one, in this Kali Yuga, because in this Dwapar Yuga, in the previous Dwapar Yuga of this Chatur Yuga, Krishna came and revealed his Vrindavan pastimes. And that's a very special pastimes, Vrindavan pastimes. Now he has revealed it here, and now he is considering how will people enter into this pastimes. Therefore, in the age of Kali, he came as a devotee in order to make that benefit, make that prerogative for the people of this age. Okay, I'll stop now. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I just wanted to also let you all know that two very wonderful devotees came from Surat. Kavita and her husband. So they just... Abhi abhi aaye tum? Okay. Sima, tum mile the? Abhi abhi aaye hain. Achha. Asima matlab Shyamangi. Abhi kahan thehre ho? Guest house mein. Sab theek hai, kamra mile hai? Okay. So let's all greet them with three Hari Bols. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari.